As you board, please move across your car to make room for everyone, and kindly offer available seating to those needing special assistance. If you're standing, please hold on to the handrails and stay clear of the doors. They will be closing in a moment. Thank you.
Howdy, hey, and welcome to another episode of Disney Assembled. I'm Troy.
And I'm Mimi.
And we are your happy little father-daughter podcast, here to create joy and share our love for all things Disney.
Disney Assembled is sponsored by our patrons over on Patreon. If you'd like to join them, head on over to patreon.com/DisneyAssembled or to our website, DisneyAssembled.com, and hit that Patreon button.
Yes, we'd appreciate that very much. And this is a listener-supported show, and so we appreciate your consideration there. Membership starts as little as $2 a month. With that, you get access to all the exclusive, patron-only, Disney Assembled exclusive content. I think I said exclusive a couple of times there.
It's okay.
That's right. All right. We have a main topic of the week. We have a Disney dad joke of the week. We have the trivia question of the week, which we have to pull out of the secret Disney Assembled drawer of magic, which is just the desk drawer that we're sitting in front of right now. We have to go over the answer to last week's question. I don't know if anyone got... answer to that. Yeah, we did. We get some answers to that question right there because I see it and had a few people chime in. So we appreciate that.
Right?
Yeah. We did. We had a couple of people there. And so, yeah, we'll do all that this week as well as our main topic of the week, which I don't know if I said we had a main topic of the week. We certainly do. But Mimi, I wanted to start the show this week. We've picked up some listeners over the last few weeks. And I think if you haven't gone back to the archives, I think it may be appropriate to just do a real brief introduction about who we are and why we do this show, so that the new people who have been listening to the show, who may not have had a chance to go back through all 200 plus episodes, they may be saying, hey, you know, I enjoy the show, but I'd like a little bit more about you. So, so we're a father-daughter team. We started this podcast back during the pandemic, right? When you were you in eighth grade or getting ready to high school?
Yeah, I was leaving eighth grade in March of 2020.
Currently a high school senior getting ready to go to college. So we've had this journey throughout the last 4 years of doing this podcast, which was great. But the whole purpose of this was you and I sitting around wanting to do something fun together, something that we both enjoyed. And we both enjoyed watching Disney movies and we enjoyed our time vacationing in Disney parks. And it was a great time for us to, as a father-daughter duo, right? Just stay connected and relevant in each other's lives.
Yeah.
And the whole purpose being that if our little conversations that we would have anyway during the week, right? But we just happen to record them. If it brings a smile to people's faces and helps people have an enjoyable day, to whatever extent we have an influence over that, it makes us happy. We
Heck
appreciate
yeah.
that. And now that you're getting ready to go off to college, we have no plans of stopping the show.
No,
right?
There
you
is,
and I've talked a lot about this. So maybe you want to address that part, because I know some people out there may be wondering what happens when maybe he goes to college and all that stuff.
So thinking about the show, moving forward as I go into college makes me really upset because I very much am ready to move on and go to college. But it does make me sad to think about the show potentially having to end because it's been such an important continuity in my life. I mean, like I wrote my college essay about it. Like it really is so, so grounding and so, so important to me. But as of right now, the plan is to continue the show. How we plan on doing that is TBD. And obviously we have 6 months before we have to actually start thinking about that.
Right.
But the show is not going anywhere when I go to college. I still very much love Disney just as much as I did when I was 5, 10, 11, 14. We started the show, 16 in the middle of the show, and 18 now. So don't fret. I'm definitely a Disney adult. Everything's fine. I want to do this. For as long as I possibly can.
Right. And we talk about this all the time. I mean, some of our weeks are busier than others and we're like, do we want to do a show this week? Do we not want to do a show this week? And you are often the one that says, no, I really want to do this. It's important to me. And
it always gets squeezed in, even if we really don't have time or are really just too tired to be doing it. We always make the episode, because it's important to me as much as it is important to Papa.
And we've said for a long time, and not in recent episodes, we have said before that if ever the show started to feel more like a burden on our lives or a job, because it's not, we have, you know, I have a full-time job to help pay the bills around here, and you're a student and you have some work that you do, in which maybe you can address that because you don't have to do all the jobs that you do. You choose them because you're trying to get the money, some extra money for college, right? Yeah,
I like having money for myself to spend on myself because I'm very fortunate. Well, it kind of hurt when I was 12, but now like I'm very grateful to have grown up in a house with parents that didn't just spoil me and give me money whenever I needed it. And they didn't like leave me to starve. Like, they didn't leave me on the street. Like, if I wanted to go out with friends, like I got $20, like, don't you fret. But like, I like working. I like having a schedule and a place to be. And it gives me a reason to be out of my house, and I enjoy what I do. And, you know, the restaurant is so fun. Like, it totally like relaxes my brain, rolling silverware and running food. And babysitting is just like such a passion project of mine. Like, I love kids. I love working with them. Love doing camp. I work because I like to have money to pay for my car, right, and to pay for clothes. And this trip to Disney World that I'm taking in June with my two best friends. It's not to say my parents aren't going to help out or pitch in or help me when I need it. But I like to work. I enjoy working, right, to have my own money in my bank account that isn't my parents.
And yeah, we would do all our Disney stuff. I mean, your mother and I, we do fine. Right. And so
we don't need to get into all that because it's none of y'all's business, actually.
Right.
But unfortunately, we don't actually owe an explanation to anyone.
But our doing the show is not paying for our Disney excursions, right? This is just sort of a fun project that you and I do.
Yeah.
And, you know, if it helps out a little bit, you know, because it does cost us a little bit to do the show, then
it gives me like $35 every month.
Right. I mean, we could cancel the Patreon. It wouldn't matter. We would still do the show, right? We don't do it for that. That's just if people love the show and they wish to show their appreciation, they can do it that way if that's how they want to do it. I love it, you know, and I've enjoyed these 4 years with you. I look forward to many more. And as a matter of fact, we were talking earlier today about you going off to college, and you went yesterday to an accepted students event at UT Austin. And you even talked to them about Disney College Program, which is something you've been talking about for years. Okay,
so I want to mention this. I did talk about, so at the Accepted Students Day, they had their Career Center table set up for parents that are like, what happens to my kid after college? Like, are you going to help them get a job? And the answer is like, no, like your child has to get a job by themselves. But I was wearing my Walt Disney World sweatshirt, as I am right now. And the guy looked at me and he said, do you like Disney? And I was like, yeah, like, you know, I've got the podcast and I wrote my college essay about it. And he was like, oh, that was you. And I was like, why did you read my college essay? You're in the Career Center. And he was like, I don't know, it got shown to me. And I was like, oh, that's cool. But he told me that 2 days ago he had met with Disney representatives about just how much they love UT Austin students and how they come and they do recruitment events at UT for UT students to go do the college program. So that was really cool and sort of, you know, relaxing to hear that they like my school and they like the program that I'm probably going to be in. And I would just love to do the college program in the sophomore, in the spring semester of my sophomore year. That's the plan.
Sounds great. So for those of you who are new to the show and have been listening to us recently, we may not have, you know, shared some of our history and some of the insight into why we do the show. And so we thought we'd just spend a few minutes in this episode doing that for those of you who've just started listening. And we hope that helps you get to know us a little bit better and maybe appreciate you know, why we do what we do.
If I'm on the college program, I get to go all the time. And that seems like a perfect world.
Yeah, there you go.
And it's work. And I like working. So it's work and Disney. Perfect.
Cool. Boom. All right. So main topic of the week. Do you want to explain to everybody what we're going to get to here in just a few minutes?
We're going to talk about our top 10 Disney duos. We've done something kind of like this with the friendship tournament. And we've talked about duos a little bit. But we just compiled a list of our top 10 overall favorites. We've got two duos that are sort of iconic classics. The other ones come from movies. They are not ranked, and I'm very excited to share them with you.
So we actually have 12, right? We have the two classics and we have 10 others, but we're going to talk about top 10. And you may have a different opinion. And we'll tell you how to get in touch with us after the show if you wish to share your opinion of that. All right. Disney trivia question. Let's go over the answer to last week's question
and then at the end, we can do the new question. Okay. So the question last week was, where does the majority of the Lizzie McGuire movie take place? And this is a question that might go over a lot of people's heads, just because they're not in the right age range to have watched the Lizzie McGuire movie. And the answer was Rome, Italy. So it took place in Rome. She becomes a pop star at the end. Everybody's seen it. That's not true, but we really like it.
Yeah, and we actually had a couple of people answer. I know that our friend Andrew once again got that right. He said that Rome certainly was one of, because he remembers that movie from watching it when he was younger.
Right. Andrew's in the right age bracket to have watched that movie.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think I'm trying to find the other person. There was one other person. I think maybe they answered through the app, through Spotify, because you can answer this question on Spotify. So if you're listening to the podcast on Spotify, there's an interact area. And in that interact area, there is the question each week, right? So yeah, we did have one. So Andrew said Rome, obviously there. And JM Boy 1990, who I think may have left us a review at one point. JM Boy 1990, I think it says Italy. So we'll take Italy because Rome is in Italy, yeah. Right? So Italy counts and we appreciate that. So there you go. Little claps for our Disney Trivia Question Week answers. Correct.
Little claps.
Congratulations to you guys. We'll have our new Disney Trivia Question of the Week
at the end of the episode.
All right.
All right. We actually have to lock in.
We do have to lock in.
Because I have a place to be at in an hour.
So it's time. Are you ready for the Disney Dad Joke of the Week?
I am.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, Disney fans of all types, it is time for this week's Disney Dad Joke of the Week.
Oh, boy.
Mimi.
Yes.
We have stayed at the Polynesian Village Resort the last two times we've visited Walt Disney World. Did you know there's a rule? They don't tell you this rule. You have to kind of look at it. But there is a rule at the Polynesian Village Resort at Walt Disney World. The guests are not allowed to laugh out loud. Did you know that? They cannot laugh out loud.
What? Why?
Well, they have to keep it to aloha. Get?
Yes.
Aloha.
Yes.
All right. That is this week's Disney Dad Joke of the Week. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a Disney Dad Joke that you'd like us to consider using on the show, please send us an email, disneysymbol@gmail.com, or direct message on
Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, X, and Threads, all at Disney Symbol.
Yes, do it. All right. Disney duos.
Let's lock in.
Let's talk about the two iconic duos that we wanted to include in our list.
No, put the phone where you had it.
Put the phone where I had
it. Our list is on a phone this week instead of on a piece of paper. We don't know how to act.
We're getting high tech.
We don't know how to behave.
All right. So the first and the most obvious dynamic Disney duo that we have to mention is Mickey and
Nemo and Dory.
No.
Of the Nemo Submarine Village.
No.
Voyage.
Mickey and Minnie. Iconic duo. Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway. One of our favorite rides. The mice.
And they got the ears. Endless collection of merchandise relating to them.
I mean, obviously we can't talk about Disney duos without mentioning Mickey and Minnie.
Countless shorts. Yeah. Literally, they're everywhere.
Absolutely. Yeah. So we don't need to talk in detail about Mickey and Minnie.
Yeah.
I think most people, if you said, give me a Disney duo, Mickey and Minnie would be near the top of everyone's list anyway. So as an iconic member of the list, they sort of get naturally put in no matter what.
Yes, correct.
All right. The other iconic duo.
It also comes from the sort of classic line of characters, right? Like the Fab Five plus these guys, Chip and Dale. Which one is Chip and which one is Dale? Nobody knows.
Dale has the red nose.
Why?
I just know that for some reason. Dale has the red nose.
Which one's Chip and which one's Dale? Nobody knows. You can meet them at the Chip Garden Grill restaurant in Epcot in the Land Pavilion.
And they hang out at Disney Hollywood Studios right by the Brown Derby, right?
They do. And they hang out in Animal Kingdom in Dinoland USA in their little dinosaur costumes.
Absolutely. So Chip and Dale, obviously. And Chip and Dale's been in cartoons with Mickey. Donald, they constantly are, you know, mixed in.
Chip and Dale, what's interesting about them is that Mickey and Minnie sort of exist outside of each other, right? Like Mickey is his own character and Minnie his own character. And then together they are also a duo. And as for every other character on this list or every other duo on this list, that also reigns true. But there is no Chip without Dale. And there's no Dale without Chip. Like there's no individual Chip and Dale. It's just Chip and Dale. Like
they're always together. And it's unclear whether they're related or not. Like, are they brothers? Are they cousins? Are they nephews?
Are they just really good friends?
I think they're just really good friends, to be honest with you.
Really good friends.
I think so. I think maybe they were college roommates. they're still looking for a job, so they're sharing the apartment.
But yeah, like they are the duo, I think, of all the duos. Like even when they're out in the parks, like they're together, right? Like there's never just one.
Well, those are our two iconic duos that we wanted to mention. I mean, obviously some people may be thinking, what about Donald and Daisy? We didn't include Donald and Daisy on our list. We did not do that. So
do they
maybe
have shorts together? No.
Yeah, maybe
not
somebody,
in the same way Mickey and Minnie do.
All right, so let's get through the 10 that we mentioned coming from the Disney universe. Now, we did not include Marvel. We did not include Star Wars. There is some Pixar in here, right? So it's Disney Pixar type related.
Just to acknowledge it so that nobody gets mad, we did think about Chewie and Han Solo and the Mandalorian and Grogu. And there wasn't a whole lot in the Marvel. Well, we talked about Wanda and Vision. But we ended up deciding to cut the Star Wars and Marvel intellectual properties from this list just to make it easier for everybody to keep track. And I think if you start going down the path of like Marvel duos, you could end up literally anywhere.
Right, because you could have like Bucky and Steve.
Bucky and Steve, you could have Natasha and
Clint.
Bruce. What?
Oh, Clint.
Oh, Clint. Him too. Yeah, Hulk and Black Widow and also Arrow. Or Arrow. The heck? Oh gosh.
Oh goodness. Yeah.
But anyway, so, you could go down this
Hawkeye.
Hawkeye and Black Widow. Yeah.
Right.
I did very much got up at 5 a.m.
Right, so let's jump into the list, right? Let's jump into the list. So the first duo on our list, it actually was the first duo that I actually thought of. I actually thought of this duo before Mickey and Minnie. Mm-hmm. That's Buzz and Woody.
Duh.
From the Toy Story franchise.
Arguably Buzz and Woody could be bigger than Mickey and Minnie. It's definitely possible.
It is approaching Mickey and Minnie
level
category
status.
Because Buzz and Woody as a duo, as friends, as partners. I mean, the way they've developed that relationship from Toy Story 1 through where it is now.
Right.
It's been pretty remarkable.
It's this like, you know, very different, two very different people coming together and they represent a lot of different things to a lot of different people. And I think that they are a level of iconic that definitely is very close to matching Mickey and Minnie because I don't know. I just, you see one in the park and you're wondering where the other one is. Right. And they're kind of trying to push this like Woody and Jesse duo and it's just not the same. Like there's nothing. Yeah. There's nothing stronger, I think, than the friendship between Buzz and Woody.
Yeah. So Buzz and Woody obviously makes the list. And yeah, like I said, that was the first one.
Andy's two toys.
All right, that's it.
Do you think Toy Story is Disney's biggest franchise? Like, do you think it's the most popular?
No.
What do you think is bigger than Toy Story? Like, what do you think has the same level of reach, if not more reach, than Toy Story?
Well, you got it. Wait, excluding Marvel and Star Wars?
Yeah. Well, yeah, because that's a totally different like group of people.
Oh, well, then in that case, maybe Frozen. I think with the amount of people, but I would say Toy Story is probably right up there with the top.
I think it's definitely Toy Story because Toy Story has like the millennials and the young kids versus Frozen kind of,
right.
You don't really have an adult population that's obsessed with them.
Maybe that's a topic for another show.
Yes.
There we go.
Biggest Disney franchises.
That's right.
Okay. Next, you said this one, but I thought the duo would be something else. Peter Pan and Tinkerbell.
Right.
See, in my head, the duo is Peter Pan and Wendy.
Oh, no, I think it's Peter Pan and Tinkerbell together because they've been together from the get-go and they're still together today, right?
This is true. I think it could go either way.
Yeah, I mean, Wendy goes back to her world and whatever. So right. I think
it could go either way.
Tinkerbell has become iconic character, period.
We have talked about this, about how Jiminy Cricket and Tinkerbell have become sort of, you know, the family crest of Disney.
They're really up there, right? Disney has really used those characters for their marketing and sort of their storytelling tremendously.
To be these sort of cornerstones.
Peter Pan, not so much, but Peter Pan, you know, he's in the park a lot. He's, you know, and we
see
people
love the ride.
Yeah, yeah.
Love Peter Pan's flight.
I just think, I don't know. I had Peter Pan and Tinkerbell on the list because I think the story requires them to exist. I think Wendy could be replaced by, I don't know if she could be replaced or not, but I guess, I don't know. They just seem very connected. They have this history that we don't know a lot about. Maybe a prequel would be cool to get. You know, we talked about prequels before.
Yeah, they have
backstories.
A prequel. It's called Pan.
Well, but I don't. Did anyone watch that?
I did. I've seen Pan.
All right. So, I don't know. Peter Pan, any more to talk about Peter Pan?
Tinkerbell? No, just a good solid duo. Gotta love green.
The next one on our list, the next duo is another. We go back to Pixar for this one. Pixar is good for duos.
Yeah.
They seem to be really good for duos.
Pixar nails the friendship theme very well. And this one are two favorite monsters, Mike and Sully. Yeah. The whole film is about their development as friends and working together to sort of overcome this problem that they have with Boo. And then you learn in Monsters University, like the context of their friendship. And they've really been doing this together since the very beginning. And I think what's fun about Mike and Sully is that they have become a whole shtick for Disney outside of their film. So like the whole thing with like Mike always being covered up on pictures and things, like that's something that Disney has developed like because of something that happened in their movie, right? And it's become like now a shtick that exists outside the universe or the lore of their movie.
Right. And Mike and Sully is kind of like you have the silly, goofy, funny one, and then you have sort of the straight, sort of stiff Mike. Like Sully is not really intentionally funny.
We've
right?
got the good
Sully's
cop,
more of the serious person, and Mike is more of the silly, goofy kind
See,
of character.
I think
character.
It's the opposite.
I don't think so. Sully's the big blue monster. He's yeah. not really the comedian. Sully's the comedian.
Oh, yeah. I guess it's also like the good at his job, bad at his job thing. It's like Sully was really good scarer and Mike was not. But right. yeah, they're a solid duo. I think it's interesting that you can only meet Sully in the parks. You can't meet Mike. And it's
really, I thought you could. We have pictures with Mike.
You don't see them together.
Oh, I mean, together.
Well, yeah. But I haven't seen Mike outside walking around Hollywood Studios in years. Mm. Yeah. So the next one, namesake of their film, is the whole point of their film is them, and it is their duo, and it's the namesake of their film. What is it?
Oh, you want me to say?
Yes.
I'm sorry. Lilo and Stitch. So Lilo and Stitch. I like Lilo and Stitch. I like Stitch. Stitch as a character has become more and more popular. Lilo as a character become more and more popular. This movie's been out for a while. I think they're talking about doing a live action version of Lilo
yes,
and Stitch
and
right
it's
now.
So scary looking.
So I don't know. I think it's a wonderful family movie. I think it's it's a different type of duo, right? I mean, they sort of try to figure out who they are in each other's lives as, you know, Lilo, quote unquote, adopts Stitch, right?
Right. And just sort of like grows up and Stitch becomes more human as the movie goes, realizing that there is kindness within him, even when they're like medically and chemically should not be.
Right. And again, I've always, you know, I enjoyed the film when we watched it and I liked the characters. I've never been the hugest Lilo and Stitch fan, but I appreciate it for what it right. is. And
it's not a movie you dislike. It's just not like a top 10. I was talking about this with Andrew.
Who's a big Stitch fan.
Yeah. Andrew loves Stitch, but Andrew is not the only person that loves Stitch in this way. So what we had kind of talked about was we couldn't figure out a term for it, but every generation sort of has this character that is kind of not like a main character, and they just latch onto them. Like characters like Stitch, right? Lilo and Stitch was a good movie. It was popular, but it wasn't Beauty and the Beast popular. It wasn't Lion King popular. It wasn't this huge blockbuster film that came out and made all these waves. And Stitch as a character was, you know, loved and funny, but he kind of sort of went under wraps for a really long time and you didn't really meet him. You didn't really see him. There wasn't a whole lot of merch about him. But all of a sudden, people Andrew's age, like these millennials, have latched onto this character and now there is Stitch stuff everywhere. You've also seen it with the Goofy movie and Max and Goofy and like that brand. Like that that is a straight to DVD movie that people did not care about until like, what, 5 or 7 years ago? And then all of a sudden it was like everybody was obsessed with these characters and you can meet them and there's a ton of merch and, you know, whatever. I think characters also like Remy, right? Ratatouille was not a blockbuster hit film. It was good and it was popular, but up until I want to say like 10 years ago, like when the ride started becoming in development, like or things like, you know, around there, people didn't really think about Remy all that much. And now Remy is insanely popular. People love that character. And so like what I think stands out to me about Lilo and Stitch is that they are at least one half of their duo is this massive, massive Tinkerbell, Jiminy Cricket-like character that is becoming a part of Disney marketing, a part of Disney.
Right.
A part
Stitch of, is much more popular than Lilo.
Right. Like a part of the actual fabric of what Disney is versus just a part of a movie that Disney makes. Right. Like, you, like we talked about this earlier about how Tinkerbell and Jiminy Cricket are these sort of figureheads for Disney in the same way that Mickey and Minnie are. And Stitch is definitely becoming one of them. Max and Goofy are definitely becoming one of them. Remy is on their way to becoming one of them. I think my generation is going to all of a sudden in 5 years become obsessed with Baymax, and there's going to be Baymax stuff everywhere. Right. So yeah, just thought that was interesting. Yeah. The conversation I had with Andrew.
Yeah, good stuff there. All right, the next duo on the list is one that you insisted we keep on the list. I wasn't so sure about this one. I enjoy this movie a lot when we watched it. I thought it was lots of fun. But you insisted that this was one that should be in our top 10 duo list, and that's Nick and Judy from Zootopia.
Yeah, okay. You wanted to take this one off. I insisted we didn't because although Zootopia is not my favorite movie, I will admit it's not my favorite. I know a lot of people really like it. I personally think I've just seen it too many times to enjoy it anymore, but they spend the entire movie together. They are a duo. The entire film is spent with them solving this mystery. That is the whole film. Them getting together and working together, and they are 100% a duo.
But they didn't really, I mean, they were working together because they had reasons. It wasn't because they enjoyed each other.
But they become friends at the end. Right. That's the whole point. I mean, it's just like Buzz and Woody. Buzz and Woody weren't friends until like the last 20 minutes of that movie.
Yeah. I mean, I guess you're right. I'm just saying, as we were doing our list of the top 10, this was one, I was like, well, if we have to take one off the list, this is one that I would have taken off the list. But I mean, you made a strong case for keeping it on the list. I didn't see a reason to take it off the list since you thought, you were the one who came up with this one. You said this one has to be on the list. So yeah, we left it on the list. It's all good. Nick and Judy. I think there are a lot of people out there that enjoy Zootopia. Of course, the Zootopia land being built
is certainly helping.
It is really a big deal. So yeah, Nick and Judy. Fair enough. Yep. I can go for that. All right. The next one is more of an iconic duo, but we didn't want to include it as sort of the automatic, obvious ones.
Right. It's iconic, not because of Disney. Like Disney did not make this duo, did not invent them, did not create them,
but probably brought this duo to the mainstream better than just before.
Yes and no. With the age of film, yes. Right. But people knew about this duo long before the movies were made. Like I promise.
This duo actually won the very first. Did they win
Disney Friends Tournament?
The Friends Tournament.
I think they did.
All right.
Pooh and Piglet. I don't have a whole lot else to say about Pooh and Piglet besides the fact that they're perfect. Gotta love Pooh and Piglet. Blustery Day, they've shared scarves, they've been on so many adventures, they've learned so many things about the world and friendship and growing up and being there for each other and kindness and love. And they're just perfect. They're perfect. They're perfect complements of each other.
I think they are too. I think their personalities make their friendship very important. Piglet, of course, is not very sure of himself, doesn't have a lot of courage, and Pooh is sort of just Mr. Optimism, right? He's just sort of, he's unintentionally wise, right?
Right.
He's a bear of very little brain, but he is often the voice that is the sort of the North Star
of the group
that they're in. So
I think all of the 100 Acre Woods friends could fit in this because they are very much a group. I would very much argue that the duo, although the duo is perfect and great and very iconic and very much is solid, there is very obviously a duo there, but it is a group, right? With Kanga and Roo and Tigger and Owl and Eeyore and Rabbit and, right, you know, like it's a group for sure. There's no side characters, I would say.
If I was editing this duo, the only one I would add in instead of Piglet would possibly be Tigger.
Yeah.
But I think Piglet is a more established sort of connection with Pooh because Tigger came after the fact, right? They find Tigger in the story.
And also part of that too, I think, is because of the way Disney portrays these characters. You know, when you're in the park, you can meet Pooh and Tigger. You can meet Pooh and Tigger, or you can meet Pooh and Piglet. And so you're sort of naturally associated.
And sometimes Eeyore finds his way through.
Eeyore's never with them. Eeyore is always by himself in Epcot, from what I've observed. But I think because of the way that they have developed their portrayal of these characters and who they associate themselves with, it's become a duo outside of the group. But when you watch the actual film, you know, their single friendship is very strong, but also like the group is also very strong.
Yep. Pooh and Piglet, strong duo indeed. All right. We have four more duos that we wanted to mention on the show today. This one I came up with going back to the Pixar world, Lightning and Mater.
Duh.
I mean, listen, for those people who may not know the whole story about Mater was never intended to be a significant character in the Cars movie. It was supposed to be sort of a real small role. But Larry the Cable Guy was so good when he tried for this role, the story goes, that he didn't even think he was going to get the job. But Disney called him back months and months later and basically said, look, we want you to have this job, but we've had to rewrite the entire script of the film because they've suddenly realized how important Mater may really be in the story. And so the friendship between Lightning and Mater is sort of the core element of the Cars franchise, and their friendship, their duo, even though they've gone through some rough times here and there where they don't see eye to eye, but Lightning and Mater is, they are a core duo in the Cars franchise.
They're also a core duo, I think, within Pixar. I think much like Buzz and Woody, they have this draw to little kids that, man, it's just so, it's so intense and it's so special. You know, like when Lightning comes out in his Racing Academy in Hollywood Studios, the little kids in the audience just light up and you get to see Lightning and Mater. And I don't know, Cars is just an enormous, you know, love for so many kids. And their duo, I think, is really special because it's the only duo on our list that really fights.
They did have a little argument in there, didn't they?
Then they have multiple arguments. They have more than one. It's, I think, what makes Lightning and Mater so special is that not only just like for little kids, like with Cars, but for adults, it's nice to see a friendship shown on a screen that is accurate to what friendship is really like. Buzz and Woody have their little, you know, arguments and things, but they don't fight. Like Lightning and Mater have gotten in fights and they have gone through periods where they're not talking to each other. They've been talking about each other to their other friends. Like really, like they, I think, are the most accurate portrayal of what it is like to have a best friend, and how it's not always just happy-go-lucky and fun and perfect. And it's not to say the other ones like don't get in arguments, right? Like I did say that, but they are very special for sure. Right.
The next one on the list is one that I kind of debated whether we should keep on the list or not, because I mean, it's just they are a duo but they're more than a duo by the end of their film. And that's Lady and the Tramp. I mean, obviously the film is Lady and the Tramp, but you know, they start off not, you know, really trusting each other, not really liking each other. I don't know. I guess Tramp liked Lady, but she really did not like him.
They just both change each other throughout their film. And right. That's always special.
And they end up being really close. As a matter of fact, they end up having a little family by the end of the film, right? Where, you know, they are all together and so forth. So I don't know, less of a duo and more of a, I don't know, because we could have said, because you and I talked about Rapunzel and Flynn,
we
but they're not really a duo.
We tried to keep couples out of here, but right. Lady and Tramp, I think, are just, they're just different.
But if you think about it, Lady and the Tramp,
I think they're different.
If Rapunzel and Flynn are human-ish, I mean, they're all cartoon characters, obviously, but they're human character versions of Lady and the Tramp almost.
Yeah.
I mean, if you really think about it,
I think
Rapunzel
Lady
and Lady are similar in the sense that they don't trust Tramp and Flynn, but by the end, they end up appreciating them, falling for them, and living their lives with them. Right?
I mean, I think what's special about Lady and the Tramp, and also I guess like Beauty and Beast, they're the namesake of their film, and so you know the whole movie is going to be about them and like their partnership.
And what I like about it is it wasn't love at first sight. It wasn't like the fairy tale thing where, oh my goodness, my prince is here. Oh, I'm in love.
Yeah.
I mean, this was relationships that formed over time and through conflict and through having to deal with challenges together, right?
Things
having
that
to rely
are difficult
on each other, right?
The next one is one that you put on the list, and it is Robin Hood, Little John. They just sound good together,
right?
Robin Hood,
well, they are certainly a duo, and their partner.
The other say
yes. So
reminiscent, having such a good time. Papa does not like when I do that. He makes a genuinely annoyed face when I do that. Like actually, like nothing else I do actually annoys him.
I just shake my head. Going, look, I love Robin Hood, the film, and you have to have Little John as Robin Hood's partner. And
they're partners in crime.
I mean, because there's a partnership we did not put on the list. We didn't put like Mowgli and Baloo. Baloo and Little John are essentially the same
characters.
But we didn't put Bagheera in Baloo. We didn't put.
But those are different.
Right. Very different relationship than Robin and Little John, which are
Little Robin and Little John are partners in crime. Like they do everything
literally
together.
Partners in crime because yeah. they like rob from the rich, which
like they
is
do
a crime.
Everything together and it's special.
And yeah, they rely on each other, even though Robin Hood is obviously the central character of the film. But without Little John, I think Robin Hood's character would feel he needs Little John to show some of his character, right? And so,
oh, absolutely, yes.
Yeah. So Robin and Little John, obviously, I don't know. I wish they would come out in the parks more.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you wish, I wish Robin Hood and Little John as characters that you could see in the parks would be fun.
Yeah.
Especially for little kids that are looking to meet characters. All right.
Our
we
last
have
one.
One more duo on our list. And I think this was a good one to add to the list. I mean, I think when people hear it, they'll say, oh yeah, that is definitely a duo that had to rely on each other and
they
ended up
also,
working way in a way to work out their differences.
Right. They also get in fights sometimes, but they are much like Winnie the Pooh and Piglet. They are very good complements of each other. You got Marlin and Dory. Marlin and Dory obviously team up to find Nemo, and Marlin gets very frustrated with Dory's whole memory thing. But in the second movie, they end up doing something very, very selfless for Dory to go find her family. And yeah, they're just a really good duo. I don't have a whole lot else to say about it.
Right. So in Finding Nemo, you had to have, you couldn't just have Marlin out there on his own. You had to have Marlin with somebody else to help make the story more interesting. Dory as a character, very interesting. Can't remember. Makes for some funny moments in the film. Adds some levity to it. And it's a decent character. I mean, you know, it was good character development. It added to the story. But Marlin and Dory as a duo, they needed each other to get through the challenges of actually finding Nemo. If they had done it, well, if Marlin had been on his own, he would not have been successful. Even if Dory was frustrating and maybe accidentally helpful from right. time to time during the film. But yeah, Marlin and Dory is our final Disney duo for our top 10 list. All right, Mimi, do you want to recap sort of the 12 Disney duos that we think belong in everyone's duo list?
I can. I'm also first off going to read the Disney trivia question of the week, and then I'll read it again at the very end. This week, it is in Monsters University, who voices Dean Hardscrabble? So the evil Dean from Monsters U, who voices her? Okay. Our list for our top 10, or top 12 Disney duos is Buzz and Woody, Peter Pan and Tinkerbell, Mike and Sully, Lilo and Stitch, Nick and Judy, Pooh and Piglet, Lightning and Mater, Lady and Tramp, Robin Hood and Little John, Marlin and Dory, Mickey and Minnie, and Chip and Dale.
So there they are. If you have comments about your favorite Disney duo, if it was not on the list, especially if it's not on the list, Mimi, how can our friends who are listening get in touch with us?
Yeah, so if you guys have any thoughts about our duos, or if you want to answer the question, which is, again, in Monsters University, who voices Dean Hardscrabble? Feel free to send us an email, disneyassembled@gmail.com, or send us a message on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, X, Threads. Well, X and Twitter are the same. TikTok, Threads, at Disney Assembled. But if you guys want to support the show further, link to our TeePublic, Patreon, buy us a Dole Whip, all that other fun stuff is on our website, disneyassembled.com.
Yeah, if you like doing, subscribe to our YouTube channel. We're on YouTube as well. Hit that subscribe button. And you can answer the question as well on Spotify. So if you're listening to the show on Spotify, there's an interact section where the question will be listed. You can just write your answer there. We'd appreciate it. Of course, the best thing you can do, if you want to help the show grow and find more listeners and help us spread joy in the world, rate and review on the podcast listener of choice. So if you're listening to this podcast and you're allowed to do a rating and review, please take a moment to consider doing that. We'd really appreciate it. And yeah, and tell your friends all about us. We appreciate that,
heck
too.
Yeah.
All right. High five. Good job this
great
week.
Great episode.
Ladies, gentlemen, Disney fans of all types, we hope this episode brought a smile to your face, some extra magic to your day, and an important sprinkle of pixie dust to your week. Thank you again for listening. And until next time,
see you real soon. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, please collect your belongings, watch your head and step, and take small children by the hand.